You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the Political Cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Happy New Year and welcome to the first broadcast of 2016 of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards, joined in studio tonight, the first day after the new year. Well, the first day after the first day of the new year is January 2nd. And I'm here with Keith Alexander. We welcome with open arms the challenges and hopes that come with the dawn of a new year. Of course, that song, Auld Lang Syne, that was a traditional Scottish bagpipe rendition of the song. Of course, it is a Scottish song. The song asks the rhetorical question as to whether it's right that old times be forgotten, and is generally interpreted as a call to remember long-standing friendships. And Keith, it's a song that symbolizes endings in some regards. It can be played at funerals. It can also symbolize new beginnings, which is why it's synonymous with and ubiquitous at on New Year's Eve. And it's a beautiful song.
It's particularly appropriate for this show because it's our position that old times should not be forgotten. Instead, old times need to be remembered, because where Obama wants to change America, the Political Cesspool wants to change America back in many respects.
Well, you know, and as you said, Keith, I love that song because it harkens back to my Scottish roots. My mother's maiden name was McGregor. But also because we do revere very earnestly our past. And it's the inspiration we get from our ancestors that motivates our actions in many ways. But at the same time, we're hopeful that we'll be triumphant and continue to do good work in the behalf of our people going into the future. So it's appropriate both ways.
We're conservatives, but we're also traditionalists. And you should not forget the old times. In fact, if you want to know how to solve today's problems, the problems haven't changed. Look back and see how our ancestors solved them. And in 9 times out of 10, that will be the best solution that there is to the particular problem.
I agree, Keith, and I'll tell you, I do look forward to a new year. It's exciting, it's refreshing, it's reinvigorating. 2015 was a banner year for the Political Cesspool. You know, we covered the top 10 moments of the year that was on last week's show. It's going to be hard to top that. I say that every year. Every year, it seems like we get just a little bit better and a little more impactful. People ask me from time to time, how do you keep burning the candles at both ends and keep doing this? And they could ask you the same thing, Keith and Eddie. How do y'all keep doing this year after year? I say, we don't burn the candle at both ends. We just threw the whole candle into the fire.
There's more sewage being flushed into the cesspool on a daily basis by the elites. And that gives us no shortage of material, folks. Believe me, the last thing you have to worry about is us running out of things to talk about.
Well, I don't think it's so much that they're worried about us running out of things to talk about, but worried rather about our stamina. But don't worry about us, ladies and gentlemen. The motivation and inspiration that we draw from you is really self-sustaining. It's like a fountain of youth and vigor. And I want to thank everybody for the Christmas cards, the letters, the notes, the emails, the contributions that poured in from around the world in December. We talked about it at the top of every show. You know, we had so much fun between October and December on this show. Now it's back to business as usual. You're not going to hear the fun Christmas songs, and we're going to get just back down to the hard news. But thank you so much, everybody that wrote in December. And I'll tell you, you know, I saw Ted Cruz on TV, and he was encouraging his supporters to contribute. This was just a couple of very recently. He wanted his supporters to contribute to Scott Walker. Scott Walker, who dropped out of the presidential race, what, 2 or 3 months ago. Ted Cruz was encouraging his supporters to contribute to Scott Walker to help Scott Walker retire his campaign debt. And I was thinking, well, Ted, why don't you write the first check on television and let us see you drop it in the mail? Because I'll tell you, I donated to the political cesspool 3 times in the month of December. I will never ask anybody. I think that's real leadership. I'm not going to ask people to contribute to this show if I'm not willing to do it myself. But to contribute to a Cucks campaign that has now ceased to exist just to help him pay his bills, I'd like to see. Some people probably did that, though. I don't know.
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Ted Cruz is another Cuck. I remember when that Mother Emanuel Church shooting in Charleston happened, the head of the president of the Council of Conservative Citizens, Earl Holt, had contributed $6,000 or something to Cruz's campaign. Cruz vilified Holt, but didn't send back the money to him. Instead, he sent the $6,000 that Earl Holt had contributed to the Mother Emanuel Church.
There you go.
So, look, if you think anything will change if Ted Cruz gets the nomination, then talk to me after the show. There's a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to sell you.
And you could use the money. Well, we could all use it. Well, the thing about it is, folks, for retiring the fourth quarter fundraising drive, it was successful. Our needs have been met. You know, when you contribute to us, every cent's going to be stretched and wisely allocated. We'll always be good stewards of your investment. You know, 99% of our audience, as large as our audience is, about 1% contribute. And I think that's universally standard. You would think with a show like this that has fostered such a sense of community and family might be a little higher. But that's really about what it is, and that's on par or actually a little bit better than most. But those of you who do contribute, and those of you, and there are some of you who donate every quarter, every year, you have skin in the game. So when we talk about our victories and our battles, you sharing that a little more personally, and we appreciate you. We respect and appreciate all of you, but the people who have skin in the game with us and contribute, obviously you are a stakeholder in this above and beyond that of many. And we love you for it, and we're going to give you a great 2016. I promise you that. Nothing less than the very best. Coming up tonight's show, we're going to cover some news this first hour, some good news in the second hour, and then in the third hour, when Eddie the Bombardier Miller is on deck, we are going to tell you how an NBC news article has taken media dishonesty to a new and unprecedented level. So we're going to give you some hard news in the first hour, some good news in the second hour, and then we're just going to shock you in the third hour. It's all coming up tonight before we run out of time. After the first commercial break, Keith, we're going to get into the Bill Cosby story. So everybody stay tuned for that. But be sure to stay tuned the entire show tonight, because each hour is going to have a little different feel and a little different flavor. But Keith, as we kick off this new year, before we start transitioning to Bill Cosby, we only have seconds remaining. One thing, if the political cesspool could accomplish one thing this year, 10 seconds or less, what would it be? What would you like to see it be?
The defeat of liberalism in the West, in America, and have it spread over to Europe.
All right, well, that's a tall order to fill. A little broad, but if anybody can do it, it's us. We'll come back. We'll come back right after this, folks. New year, first show of it. We're ready. Are you? Stay tuned.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also, also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number's 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Well, as I said, we're back to news and business as usual without all the fun music. Bill Cosby, Keith, update us on the latest in this incredible epic saga.
Well, apparently there's been a consolidation of all these claimants, all these women that apparently expected to get something from having a tryst with Bill Cosby. And since it didn't work out as originally planned, now 20 or more years later, they've come back for the payoff, this time in the form of a lawsuit of some type. And the attorney that is wrangling all these heifers together, I guess you would say, and trying to organize it, is none other than the noted leftist Democrat feminist Gloria Allred. Now, there have been probably over 100 women that have made these charges. We hear that a indictment has been handed down and that they're going to prosecute Bill Cosby, but this is on one case out of over 100. But you would think that the Supreme Court had come down and ruled that Bill Cosby is a pedophile and a child molester and everything else, and that the sword of Damocles was going to land on him. This is typical of the leftist news media. They make their own reality. It's been said before that you could indict a ham sandwich. Well, they get an indictment, and it's like a conviction followed with a swift and summary execution in their eyes. And that's the way that they're reporting it, James.
All right, there's two sides of this for me. And first of all, let me just say that neither side, with regards to the women and Bill Cosby himself, neither of those two sides are on the side of the angels. Let's just put it that way. But you have one Bill Cosby, who obviously in real life was not Dr. Huxtable from The Cosby Show. And he exhibited the sexual mores that are very typical of the black community. And a lot of it was interracial. He got a little fame, a little money. He went after white women. All of that we're against. It's disgusting. So, you know, we're certainly not on the side of Bill Cosby in that regard. However, the other dynamic is this war against men and this how rape is being redefined. Now, if a woman at any point in her life regrets having sex with somebody, it becomes rape.
And even 20 years later, apparently.
We don't know for sure. That's why it's going to trial, I guess, and let justice be served. And I really don't care one way or another. But I almost sympathize with Bill Cosby on some levels because you have these women. One of them said that he raped her or assaulted her at the Playboy Mansion. One of them said he assaulted her in his hotel room. One of them, of course, many of them said that it occurred at his home. If you're going into somebody's home with a man, you're going into their hotel room, and certainly if you're going to the Playboy Mansion with them, you have to expect that they're going to want sex. And I didn't hear in any case that Bill Cosby hogtied these women, knocked them out, just totally manhandled them.
He wasn't Ariel Castro, in other words. He didn't have them chained to a beam in the basement.
Right, so that's what I'm getting at. And obviously, if these people had been living within the sexual rules given to us in the Bible and had adhered to those standards, there wouldn't be a problem one way or the other. If all of the parties, interested parties, had stuck to God's law with regards to sexual relations, none of this would have happened. So they're all guilty as far as that goes. But a lot of people, when they're having illicit sex and having illicit affairs, especially sexual relations that they shouldn't be having, they like to loosen up by drinking and taking recreational drugs, which appears to be the case. So I guess what it comes down to is, did Bill Cosby tie up these women and put a funnel in their mouth and pour wine down their throats? Did he slip them these quaaludes without their knowledge? Or did they say, yeah, let's just have a little fun, let's party, let's do this before we do the other, and let's make it a little more exciting? That's what I want to know. And if he didn't do that, I hope all of these women get prosecuted and go to jail.
For perjury. Because this is not a Spanish fly incident where somebody spikes your drink, supposedly. This is taking recreational drugs. If you're drinking and taking recreational drugs with a member of the opposite sex after midnight, and what do they say? I think it was John Calipari, the coach at the University of Memphis, who's now the coach at the University of Kentucky, said famously, nothing good happens after midnight. So, you know what's going on. You know, if you don't know that, then, basically you need a conservator. You need to be probably a ward of the state kept under lock and key if you don't figure that one out. But you have to ask this question too, James. Why Bill Cosby? Because this is not unusual behavior for black celebrities.
Exactly.
I guarantee you that every rapper has done this and more. That every all sorts of high-profile athletes have done this and more.
Oh, right.
Why are we focusing on Bill Cosby? Why aren't we focusing, let's say, on similar episodes by a certain man named Bill Clinton? Bill Clinton, the philandering husband of the Democratic frontrunner for president, Hillary Clinton, has a history of, he's a serial adulterer, and his wife is a serial cuckolded wife or mate. Apparently Bill Cosby's wife, too, knew about this and tolerated it because the money was good, okay? Probably the same reason, with a little bit of nuance to it, that Hillary Clinton put up with the philanderings of Bill Clinton. But the real reason they're coming after Bill Cosby is, unfortunately for Bill, he took some very public positions, let's say in the past 20 years, in which he fell down on the conservative side of a public policy issue. And he got a lot of criticism from mainline black liberal organizations like the NAACP and the Urban League and other things like this, because he would comment about things like the black homicide, the black on black crime homicide rate, and things like this. And also about single motherhood in the black community and how that was so bad and how it was totally predictable that the children of such birthings, I guess you would say, would not be high achievers. and that that's just natural and normal. Well, because he came out and gave aid and comfort to the sworn enemies of our new establishment, the liberals, in other words, he gave aid and comfort to conservatives, he's fair game, and they're coming after him hammer and tongs, James, and that's what they're trying to do now. They're showing you that nobody bucks the revolution and gets away with it. It's the same reason why they have prosecutions of 80-year-old white men in Mississippi on walkers and oxygen tanks and who've been tried 5 and 6 times before and gotten off, and they finally get them on something. They want to show the world that nobody bucks the left-wing revolution and gets away with it. Not even Bill Cosby.
Bottom line with the Bill Cosby thing, this will be the final word. We're going to switch gears after the break. But the bottom line is, I really don't care how it plays out. I'm not invested in either side. But, again, the interracial aspect of it, the extramarital sexual aspect of it is all things that we're diametrically opposed to. However, in this modern age, I definitely don't like the way things are trending with regards to this whole regret rape phenomenon and how it becomes rape if they ever wake up and decide.
When is it
going to
be Bill Clinton's turn for all this?
That's a good question. But so, you know, we'll just see how it plays out. But again, if they had abided by biblical law, none of them would be in trouble today. And so they're all pretty much equally disgusting as far as
look, there's a big, long history of the casting couch in Hollywood where women made themselves available sexually to producers and directors. That's the same type of thing that was going on
well,
here.
Well, Bill Cosby, when a lot of these things allegedly happened, was very big, very famous. He had the Jell-O commercials and the Cosby Show. He's making a lot of money. And, you know, you get this is, you know, one of the things that comes with
it. You open a lot of doors.
Got to take a break. Fall. We're going to talk about Israel when we come back. Very interesting story out of Israel.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Help make America great again. Proverbs 29:12 says, "If a ruler listens to falsehoods, all his officials will be wicked." Our rulers have listened to falsehoods for 50 years. The 33rd Psalm states, "Blessed is the nation whom the Lord has chosen as his heritage." God's chosen people in America is fast being replaced by other peoples because of the falsehoods our leaders have listened to for these last 50 years. Falsehoods of diversity is our strength and multiculturalism is good. Donald Trump will stop this dispossession. Join the Trump Super PAC. Call 212-391-1586. That's 212-391-1586 or go to thedailytrump.org. That's thedailytrump.org. Have a blessed day. Paid for by the American National Trump Super PAC.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, first show of 2016. We told you in the opening minutes how it was going to play out tonight. First hour, we're going to be talking about standard fare news stories. Second hour, encouraging, uplifting, inspirational news from Europe. And then in the third hour, we're going to blow your socks off with this. I've been around this for a long time, and I caught something on Friday that even made my eyebrows raise a little bit. Not much, but a little bit. But you might think it's pretty interesting. Got an email, Keith, from one of our loyal listeners, one of our biggest contributors in Canada. And he sent me an email last night that I thought we'd break down. Here's what it reads. Hey, James, check this out. A book has been banned from the curriculum in Israeli schools because it depicts the love story between an Israeli and a Palestinian. The authorities over there, or the decision makers, said that the book threatens Jewish identity, quote unquote, and therefore is banned from the curriculum in Israeli schools. And he asks, of course, the million-dollar question, can you imagine a book being banned in the West because it depicts a love story between a white and a non-white? The seventh level of hell would be raised. Very interesting. Break it down, Keith.
Well, exactly right. See, when it comes to their own nation, that's a different matter. They are not for interracial sex. They're not for interracial couplings. But in America, they can't get enough of them. We have so many books, so many soap operas, so many movies that promote that type of coupling between whites and blacks, or whites and any other group, you name them, that you just, it, you know, you couldn't ever run out of material. You just, you know, it's a, you turn on the TV right now, you'll see one of those depictions going on if you go through all the channels, I guarantee you. But, of course, and they say, celebrate diversity. If somebody criticizes them for doing this, trying to socially engineer our society. But then on the other hand, when it happens in Israel, and someone depicts a Romeo and Juliet type of romance between a Palestinian and a Jew, well, then you've stopped preaching and started meddling. But then, you know, isn't it remarkable? West Side Story was the big Broadway hit of the early 60s, written by Leonard Bernstein, who is not an Episcopalian, not a Southern Baptist, but a Jew, okay? And basically what he did was take the Romeo and Juliet story and make it a story of interracial love between a Hispanic girl and a white boy. And it was supposed to, it was one of these plays and movies that's supposed to elicit the awe response like this. You know, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that sweet? Isn't that gooey? Isn't that nice? Now, they're promoting that in America, where the dominant group is white Gentiles, and basically trying to entice white Gentiles into thinking that interracial love is a groovy thing and a way to go. But on the other hand, if a similar message is expressed within the state of Israel in a book, that book is banned. It is thrown out into the outer darkness. It can't exist. In fact, you'd probably get arrested if you owned it over there.
There you go. So there's the double standard.
There's that massive hypocrisy.
Classic hypocrisy. So over there, obviously, I don't know what their equivalent of the Board of Education is or public schools, but that authority-wielding entity banned this book. It certainly it came with governmental approval, too. That brings me to Donald Trump, who on his Twitter account here today, or whether it was yesterday, you know, Donald Trump's in Mississippi tonight, rallying in Biloxi.
No fooling.
Yeah, so that's not too close to here, but he is in the state that borders
us. As far away as you can get from here, in Mississippi.
That's right. But he is in Mississippi tonight, so that's great. But on his Twitter account, he called Hillary Clinton out. Hillary Clinton has gone on the record saying that she supports the building of a wall in Israel to protect their borders and their sovereignty from illegal aliens. Or, well, I get, you know, that's tricky in Israel because they're actually occupying Palestinian land. But anyway, to keep out whoever they want to keep out, she supports the wall being built. And then Donald Trump, of course, says she supports the wall for Israel. Why not support the wall in her own country to protect her own people, the people she supposedly is there to serve? And the silence is deafening. But that gets us back to what we were talking about.
The real reason, James, let me just say this. The real reason is that she has a secret animus, as do all leftists, for the white majority in the United States of America. They are not so much pro-black or pro-Hispanic or pro-Islam as they are anti-white. That's what Bob Whitaker says in his mantra, that anti-racist means anti-white. And that's why. That's the secret reason. That's the reason that will never be uttered on the mainstream media. But that's the true reason. And then on the other hand, when the same tactics come into play in the state of Israel, you see that they have all the proper instinctive self-survival techniques that they want to deny to us.
Now, name them out. Name them out what you're talking about.
We're talking about the right to have a, you know, to have pride in your race, in your country. A nation is a folk. It's not just a group of people that have decided to live together under a certain abstract sense of law. Every nation is a blood and soil nation. Israel makes no bones about being a blood and soil nation. But guess what? So is the United States of America. And we have the right to do everything that Israel is doing
to protect our
integrity as a nation, as a people.
As a people, right, because that's what a nation is. It is a group of people, common race, common
values, common religion, things
language,
like this.
Holidays,
you know,
traditions.
And when it happens in Israel, they say, well, of course, we want to preserve Israel as a Jewish state. But if you say you'd like to preserve the United States of America as a predominantly Christian state, well, then you're off the reservation.
Or a predominantly white state. I mean, yeah. We would like it to be white, and we would like it to be Christian, but, you know, race, you know, is an equal part in that. But so it gets us back to just to recap. So the book comes out in Israel. It's banned from curriculum in the schools because it depicts an interracial romance between a Jew and a Palestinian. That's fine. Let us do the same thing here. But no international condemnation about this either. You're not seeing this on the nightly news. You're not seeing this being, you know, heralded on all of the
60 Minutes isn't running a special on this and telling us how evil the authorities are in Israel
there
to be trying to suppress this.
That's right. And then you have Hillary Clinton advocating for a wall to be built in Israel for the same reasons we want a wall built here. But building a wall here, she would say, is racist and xenophobic and goes against.
Basically, what we have are traitors. Our elites have sold out the people they're supposed to represent, our political elite in particular, but our industrial and economic elites just as well, in order to have short-term gain for themselves, either to get elected or to make more money off of cheap labor overseas. They sell out the interests of America's middle class by offshoring jobs and factories and whatnot. This is what they're doing. Elites are traitors, and we have a populist candidate finally on the horizon, Donald Trump, and that's why he is causing so much consternation in the camps of the elite, because they know that finally there's somebody here that will give a voice and a persona to the valid complaints of the average American citizen, regardless of his race, color, or creed.
Last,
it's resonating with them all.
Right, and a lot of blacks are supporting Trump that wouldn't support another Republican because they at least appreciate his moxie and charisma and manliness, and so fine.
Ditto for Hispanics.
I like that. That's fine with me. I wish they would all vote for him. But with regards to Israel, we say we appreciate the way they run their domestic policy. We would like to do the exact same thing, and it's true. They have
we certainly don't
state.
Appreciate their hypocrisy in saying that it's so good for them, but it's totally forbidden to us.
You were saying that because it is so hypocritical, we really shouldn't even praise their domestic policy, even though it was one we would like to have for ourselves and to emulate with regards to their closed borders and you know, deportations.
See, they
and
tell
things
you
like
things
that.
Like, well, you can't do this. Now, what do we can't deport all these people. Sure, we can. Eisenhower, President Eisenhower did it in the 50s with Operation Wetback. We could do it now. They're doing it on a daily basis in the state of Israel.
No, that's
today.
Right. You say, well, Israel's not as big. Israel's about the size of Delaware, but so what?
Well, look, it can be done. We could build the fence. If Israel can build a fence that beggars the Great Wall of China, we can build an even bigger fence. And we'll do it if we have the will to do it. If we have an elite government that's trying to subvert the will of the people and act against the interests of the average American citizen, and we go along like sheep being led by these Judas goats into the slaughterhouse, then we will be slaughtered. On the other hand, if we speak up and insist that the people we elect represent our interests, then we can make a real difference in 2016.
If Israel can do these things and not be lambasted by the American press, the Jewish-dominated American press, we should be able to do it too. Thank you, Israel, for giving us the blueprint. We're gonna take it from there. We'll take it from there. All right, we'll be back. Stay tuned.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. This is normally the segment that we feature Washington, D.C. correspondent Peter Scoop Stanton. But alas, Scoop's daughter is sick tonight, and so being the dad that he is unavailable, tending to family needs, and that is what we would expect and want, and he'll be back next week. But I'll tell you very quickly, Keith, the story that we were going to cover in Scoop segment tonight, Scoop found this story and sent it to me. Samuel L. Jackson is probably, you know, we know the word racist isn't really a word, but if you want to apply it as the media does, probably the most racist actor in Hollywood, and you know there's stiff competition there, is Samuel L. Jackson. He hates whites about as
a passion that burns with a gem-like flame.
I love that. Yes, Keith, exactly. And you can go back to any number of Samuel L. Jackson interviews and find facts and evidence to support that claim that we just made. But the most recent one is he was being interviewed about the San Bernardino massacre, the murders that took place in San Bernardino, and he said on the record, without any hint of guilt or shame, that he was hoping when he found out about it that the shooters were white. He wanted them to be white. Now, what I would have said if somebody asked me was, I wish that it hadn't happened at all. And they, if they pressed me on it, I would say,
we're the haters, and Samuel L. Jackson is a wonderful, benevolent presence in the world, according to Hollywood's propaganda machine and our national news media.
Now, he's just a great mainstream, you know.
Oh, he's good. Mr. Remember, we've got all these commercials now with him and Charles Barkley and Spike Lee. And, I mean, they're just the most amiable bunch of old guys, you know.
Well, Charles Barkley's another white-hating, you know, celebrity,
well,
too.
That's the best way to promote your career if you're black is to be anti-white. And the more anti-white, the better. I noticed he's in Quentin Tarantino's latest movie called The Hateful Eight. I guess it's supposed to be a takeoff on The Magnificent Seven. But he's, I'm sure, slaughtering tons of white people. You know, they're probably loading them up on the back of a buggy or something like that.
Well, he was in Django Unchained, too. But
he's one of Quentin Tarantino's favorite actors. It's
Pulp
probably
Fiction.
Because he and Quentin have the same outlook towards the white people of America. They basically wish they would be exterminated. That's every one of Quentin Tarantino's movies is a how-to-do manual on how minorities can kill white people effectively.
And Samuel L. Jackson, talking about commercials, he's now the spokesman for Capital One credit cards. He replaced Alec Baldwin, who fell out of favor when he said something that was mildly concerning to homosexuals. And so that got it. But Samuel L. Jackson can come on and say all of these hateful things towards whites. And I was watching an interview. We can put these up on the website. I'll put these up on the website next week. Check them out at thepoliticalcesspool.org. I'll also put a link to that news story we covered about the book being banned in Israel that we talked about in the last segment. I'll get all these stories put up on the website. But I was watching an interview that he did when he was promoting Django Unchained, and he was taunting this effeminate, weak, cuckolded white reporter, young guy, to say the N-word. He goes, I want you to say it. He goes, I'm not going to do this interview with you unless you say the N-word. Because the guy asked him, well, we heard there was some controversy about how much that word was used in the movie. And he goes, I want you to say it. And he goes, oh, no, sir, I couldn't do that. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Now, you got to watch this, Keith. It's more pathetic than I could possibly carry out in
well,
trying
to. The guy
to,
is afraid
but,
for a real
listen,
purpose.
No, he said, have you ever said the word? Samuel L. Jackson asking the white reporter, oh, no, sir, no. Kept calling him sir. Nobody calls your interview subject sir.
To sir with but, love.
Anyway, Samuel L. Jackson hates white people. But, you know,
and you know, he was almost right getting back to San Bernardino. That's the only reason the national news media picked up on it at all. The first report said it was three white guys that were the shooters. And, I mean, the national news media jumped on it like a duck on a June bug. And then it turns out that these white people are actually Arabs. Well, the fat was in the fire by then, so they had to do it. So basically, they tried to spin the story as, first of all, we can't jump to any conclusions, and then this just shows you how much we need gun control.
I got the perfect compare and contrast on this one. You remember the comments that Mel Gibson made when he got pulled over, the comments that he
by
made
the Jewish policeman
to a Jew, yeah, about how, you know, Jews have had a hand in starting so many wars in our history.
He said, "You guys have to control everything," and he was surprised to find a Jewish policeman. You don't find very many Jewish policemen. I guess the only other thing, you don't find very many Jewish garbage men. But he was so surprised that he was arrested by a Jewish guy who was a policeman. He said, "Do you guys have to dominate every occupation and every?"
Well, but basically, what he said, he might have said it ill-tempered. But what he said wasn't at all wrong. It was very defensible if you look at history. But anyway, he said that, and it cost him his entire career, which was fine because Passion of the Christ made $1 billion. He ain't hurting. But it cost him his entire career. What Samuel L. Jackson said was 100 times more hateful than that. I mean, that's real racial hatred to say, I wish that the people who had killed these folks were white people because it'll advance my narrative.
Well, it shows you exactly the truth of Pat Buchanan's observation that the counterculture of the 60s is the establishment of today, and the establishment of the 60s is the dissident culture of today, their viewpoint. We are remnants, the faithful remnant of that old establishment that used to be predominant in America, but it's been taken over, and it's been taken over primarily by Jewish power and influence.
All right, folks, thepoliticalcesspool.org, you go there next week, and we're going to have these clips of Samuel L. Jackson taunting the cuck reporter and Samuel L. Jackson saying that he wants the shooters to be white or wish they had been white. And then we're also going to put up that link to the book from Israel that was banned for promoting.
And then stay tuned, folks. Just watch all the ads you're going to see about the Hateful Eight. And sooner or later, you're going to show them mowing down a bunch of white people, just like they did in Django Unchained and like they did to the Germans, who are all Nazis and Inglorious Bastards.
That's right. And so, I mean, they may or may not do it in this movie. I don't know. I haven't seen it. I don't know what it's about. But he certainly has done that in previous movies.
That's his
porn.
Standard operating procedure. That's what his movies are all about.
All right, Keith, we have about 2 or 3 minutes left before we go into the second hour. I like to share personal stories. I like to paint a verbal picture for our audience from scenes from our everyday lives. And you have a scene from your everyday life that you thought might be of interest to the audience. Share that story in 3 minutes.
I went to a holiday open house yesterday at a yoga studio. And the person in charge of the yoga studio and I were talking with a bunch of other people. And this person was trying to, we were talking about education. She was an educator as well as a yoga instructor, a public education educator. And she asked me where I went to school, and I gave her my standard reply, which is I went to 2 of the 46 worst schools in the state of Tennessee, according to the Tennessee Department of Education's compilation of about 10 years ago. And I mentioned them to her, and then she kind of quietly departed my presence. And a young lady I was with at the time said she did that on purpose because, you know, we're into yoga, and we don't like any negativity. And I said, this is the perfect useful idiot, perfect brainwashed minion of the left. A white person that is afraid to discuss the failures of liberalism and how they have negatively impacted public education in a place like Memphis is the perfect example of a self-hating person. This person can't, you know, let's put the converse on this. It's 1950, and somebody advises a black civil rights activist, you know, you people just need to get over it, man. You know, you can't change things. Everything, you know, this is the way it is, and this is the way it should be. I don't think that would have gotten a lot of play. I don't think that that would have really impressed the black civil rights activists. But apparently, we have been so brainwashed and so beaten down by cultural Marxism and the long march through the institution where they've taken over our entertainment industry, our news media, our education facilities, our churches, and whatnot, that now white people don't even care to talk about their own dispossession, about how bad the liberal experiment has turned out in places like Memphis, Tennessee, and the public schools, for example. They just want to walk away. They don't want to talk about it, because they know they have no effective counter-argument to what you and me and James would tell them, because we're telling them the truth. They can't bear the truth. They want to hide their heads like an ostrich and try to imagine that things are all right, because they know, because of political correctness, that there's some type of danger in speaking the truth. Well, we're going to continue to speak the truth here at the Political Cesspool, but that's just a perfect example of what's going on in America today. Things like yoga are basically wussifying our people, and they're doing it on purpose.
Well, Keith, too many of our people have gotten soft, flabby, ignorant, both mentally and physically. But that is changing. We're seeing that change here with the Trump phenomenon, all of these millions of people who were just laying dormant. It's like the volcano's about to erupt. And then in Europe, it's even more encouraging. And that's what we're going to cover in the second hour. Some hugely encouraging news from Europe.
People react so positively when someone has the guts to speak out and tell the emperor that he has no clothes. It tells you how much pent-up anger there is at our domination by the left.
One of the reasons the political cesspool has been as successful as it has been in making news and inspiring people over the last 11 years and change has been because of our willingness to do exactly what you just described, to be manly, to be leaders, to be unafraid, and to charge forward. We're going to charge forward into 2016.
We're going to say what we mean and mean what we say, folks.
That's right. And we're going to back it up with action, which is
even
more
important. And with facts. We're going to show you that we're right and they're wrong.
We got to take a break, and we'll continue to do all that and more in the second hour. Stay tuned.
The political cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.